This is First Baptist Church for Sunday, March 3rd, 2024. Dennis Mitchell preaching.
Today's message is titled, Sharing the Presence. Let us open our hearts and minds to prayer. Father God, as always, I thank you for this opportunity to stand before your church and to deliver the word. Let it be the word that you have prepared, that you have given to me to share with your people. Let it accomplish everything sent out to accomplish. And Lord, guide us and direct us. Give us your Holy Spirit. Let it permeate this building, every heart, mind, and soul. Let it banish any spirit and let us in true worship and in true thanksgiving and in true attendance, receive your word, the word you have for us today. Amen. 1 Peter 3, 13 to 17. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. As God seems to like to do, he has revealed to me after the fact that this is actually the third of a three-part message. Additionally, since this is my first as an ordained pastor, it is fitting that this ties together many of my recurring themes. First was honoring the presence. There was the promise of Christ, the promise fulfilled, the incarnation, making use of time, living in that knowledge, and our purpose fulfilled as we grow in Christ. We live the life he prepared for us to live. Then came pondering the presence. This is the continuous awareness of his presence with us. We carry it with you. As the scripture says, pray continuously. John 3:19 to 21. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for the fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. For those of you who are here or not, this was the scripture that was on the back of the bulletin for the ordination service. It's been my signature passage. I've carried it with me my whole life since receiving God and receiving some indication that there was purpose in my life, something for me to do for him. So this brings us to today's sharing the presence. As 1 Peter 3:15b says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. We each have a different style, and there's no wrong or right. It's up to the individual. I have a process that I like to use. It's building relationships. I take the long view. So getting to know them takes time. And allowing them to get to know you takes time. You may not be able to address the hard questions or the most important statements immediately. But, as I like to say, quoting Bruce Lee, be like water. Water evades attack by being displaced. It just ain't where you're hitting. And it also erodes. Now, this is not a breaking down, it's a wearing away of those outer shells that may inhibit people. And over time, building relationship can accomplish that. So they get to know you, you get to know them. In that recent Wednesday group discussion, it came out that this process can be like a minesweeper, crawling on the ground, probing with their knife to try to find the mines so that they can avoid damage and remove that harm to allow others to go forward. We want to determine the truth while avoiding harm as we get to know people. There can be hidden mines in people's lives that you might step on without realizing that you could harm them. It helps to get to know where people are so that you know how to address that individual. I said this, and it seemed to make sense to me. Trust is lost, but respect is earned. I tend to give people the benefit of the doubt right off the bat. I'm going to trust you until you prove I can't trust you. Once I've learned that I can't trust you, it can be really, really hard to earn that trust back. So, what do we have to do? We can't just speak it, we have to live it. People will recognize from your actions and attitude if you believe what you say. You have to be real. And there are things that you do or don't do. Avoid gossip. Be transparent within boundaries. There are times that require discretion. You don't tell everybody everything. It's a reality. As a pastor, sometimes you have to be sensitive to situations, and you can't just blurt everything out, although you might do it on occasion. The only side you take is the truth. We don't take sides with the individuals. We don't put one against another. What are we seeking? We're seeking the truth. In these relationships you build, people will notice that and they will respond to it. If you don't know, you don't know. Be willing to admit that. Don't guess or assume. Again, do no harm. The goal is to build relationship. If you offend, let's just say so many have been offended by religious people that they've turned away from religion. I have a quote. Of course, it just went away. Anyway. Pardon the delay here. All right. The base of all evil is our fall from grace through original sin. Religion is our feeble attempt to be reconciled. Religion cannot accomplish this. Only God, through Jesus Christ, can accomplish our reconciliation with God. Don't let the failure of people cause you to miss the grace given to us. The Bible, read and eventually understood, explains all this. Okay, I cheated. I quoted myself. But it's true. You know, we don't want to offend. That's a critical part of building relationship. Scripture, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 9. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? I include this passage for context. What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. And this reiterates the idea that we each have a different approach, maybe. There's no right or wrong, but each of us has a role to play. And when we're working together, there's that better opportunity to reach all that need to hear that message and to water and to see it grow. So taking a long view and building relationships also means earning a voice. I tell the story of a young woman who wanted to witness and evangelize to the Jews. She moved to Israel. She spent a year working in a business where she had contact with people until they were willing to listen to what she had to say. She earned a voice. And how do we do that? Again, by speaking truth, by sharing wisdom. And sometimes it's not just about what you do, it's about what you don't do. I look at the fruit of the Spirit. Love doesn't harm. Joy brings others up. Peace and forbearance or patience can help you avoid reacting instead of acting in a way that God would want you to act. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Each of these contributes to that life lived that gives others the idea that there's something different about you. Kind, gentle, and good, especially when dealing with difficult situations. People will notice when you don't react with anger, violence, or revenge. These can be things that get them to ask you for the reason for the hope that you have. Note, it can be contagious. Experiencing peace and joy while in contact with you and not with others will be noticed. The presence of Christ in you over time can be experienced by those around you, even if they have yet to know Him. His presence can permeate a group. I say that a team will take on the personality of their leadership. We are blessed here to have a pastor like Bradley Lacey who leads by example while being a servant leader. And this is shared amongst the group. We get that feeling of Christ's presence and what He would want us to do. It permeates the group. And this can happen in the world as well. Yeah, I talk about my job because it's difficult and I run into many situations. But over time, I'm starting to be able to speak to people and mention Jesus and talk about Scripture. And they're starting to have hunger. And it takes time, but it's beautiful when it happens. So these are further reasons someone might ask you for the reason for the hope that you have. So now, taking the opportunity to give an answer. There's this thing we call active listening. I come back to that again and again. It's asking questions. But there's also key statements that you can make. A couple that I use are, I look for God's hand in all things. And I trust God. Things that I thought were terrible after a bit of patience, as I've said, turned out to be really good. And so when you can tell people, you know, God brought me out of this, as was spoken earlier. God showed me the direction. I was looking for His direction. He brought it out for the good. I trusted Him and He delivered. These are things that you can speak of in a general way and eventually have received by those around you, even if they don't know Him. Do this with gentleness and respect. Again, do no harm. As I said, too many people have been turned off to and against religion due to the harmful actions of those claiming to represent Christ that do not exhibit these traits. These things are habit forming. Over time, whether acting properly or improperly, the more you do of either, the easier it gets. Repetition, habit. You know, if you're constantly going to God and asking for His direction and He's showing you what to do and you're following, you know, as He says, take up your cross and follow me daily, that means being aware of the presence, as discussed earlier, but to share it, you exhibit it. It's also true the other way. If you get in a habit of turning away from God, it gets easier to do that as well. It's why it's critical to constantly look at this big word, repentance. Because what is repentance? Turning away from the worldly things, turning toward godly things. And the more you do it, the easier it gets, and the more it's. I was talking recently about something we call muscle memory. Now, in business or in what I used to do, construction work, it meant the more often you did a task, you didn't even have to think about it to a degree. It would just be automatic. How you use a pair of pliers, how you swing a hammer. Pretty soon, believe it or not, you don't even have to think about it. It's the muscle. It never, that message of what's next gets partway up and it goes right back because it knows what to do. That is brilliant in a way. It's amazing the way we've been created. But it's also true of our actions, from our thoughts, from our hearts. When the automatic or the immediate reaction is to do that which God has taught you is the right thing to do, it's like that muscle memory. It becomes an automatic action instead of having to be thought about. This, in a way, greases the wheels, makes it easier for people to receive, because it's coming from the heart, and they know it. They'll notice it, even if they don't know Him. Luke 6:45. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. From the overflow of the heart will come your actions, and you won't have to worry as much about doing the right thing. It becomes almost automatic. Always be prepared. We've looked at what people may want to question. We've looked at the reason for the hope that we have. How do we prepare to give an answer? There can be many ways, but mostly require our greatest and perhaps our only real commodity, our time. I have a few. Time spent in the presence. How do we prepare to be ready to give an answer for the reason for the hope that we have? As I said in the last message, pondering the presence, we carry the presence of God with us. This means being constantly aware of Him and our connection to Him. This strengthens and gives us confidence. We do this through prayer, meditation, and contemplation. These each have purpose. I've recently discovered that reading the Bible aloud has like a powerful effect. I've talked about the fact that I discontinued my television service, but I have this smart TV, and I found out I can link it to my phone, and I can bring up my Bible Gateway, and I can put it on the screen, and I'm learning how to scroll without looking at the screen on the.
You can bring up Voices of Philadelphia.
There are many sources of the spoken Bible. And it's true, in this instance, I'm talking about reading it myself, but aloud. And it does have an effect. It doesn't replace the actual reading, but it does give an additional effect. I wouldn't say only do one or the other. I think it's better if you do both. They each have a purpose. We also spend time in the presence when we keep the channel open throughout the day. As I said and described, when we're always paying attention, we can see what God is showing us and look to Him for direction in every situation, whether a lesson through difficulty or thanksgiving when things go well. As we look for God's hand, as we move through the day, we can get stronger and more confident in His presence, which makes it, again, easier to be prepared to share that knowledge. The more confident you are, the easier it is. The more confirmed you are in the Word, the easier it is to rely on it to share that good news with those you come in contact with. So, there it is, time spent in the Word. The Bible is God's love letter to us. He reveals His plan for salvation. The better we understand this, the easier to explain to others. So there, again, spending time in the presence, spending time in the Word, you grow more confident. It's better understood by you, and therefore better easily explained to others. The Bible is God's autobiography. It is revealed by the creation to all, as in Scripture, Romans 1, 18 to 20. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. That's well and good. But he also gave us his word. So, when we see the invisible hand of God in creation, the beauty of creation, the myriad miracles, the wonder, the beauty, we are seeing individual traits of our God. But it also is in the word, and the word teaches us his nature, his divine attributes. We can learn, what would Jesus do in a situation? What did Jesus do in a situation? And it gives us indication. Now, we're not Jesus in full, but we can certainly use his example to help guide our actions and our words in dealing with others. It is a preparedness that comes from time spent in the word. So, the Bible teaches us from cover to cover about who God is. As I say, his eternal attributes, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, are represented in the word. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. He knows the end from the beginning. Gives us just a tiny insight into the mind of God. He says, my thoughts are above your thoughts, my ways are above your ways. And when you think about it, and I recommend that you do, from eternity to eternity. I like to remind and inform that eternity for God, it goes in both directions. He's ever present. All of time, in a way, has no meaning to him, except that it has meaning to us. Because we move through time. There's an advancement into the future. You know, there was a song, Steve Miller said, time keeps on slipping into the future, but it's wrong. I'm sorry. Nice lyric, great song. But we're moving into the future. Time's getting behind us. There's only so much time left. It's an important thought when you're considering your actions. So, it also teaches us how God has worked in, with, and through people to reveal himself. I've recently had an inspiration, and I just leave it at that because I look forward to what God's going to show me and pray that I'm on to something. But Moses in the burning bush, that's not an image. That was something that happened. The image is there. He saw that burning bush and it spoke to him and it revealed God's identity. David, Moses, Noah, the apostles. The Bible teaches us all these things about how God worked in and through and with the people. I love when you have a scripture that talks about there was a question. And someone out in the back suddenly stands up and prophesies. This guy or that woman, for whatever reason, they've been inspired by the Spirit to deliver what those people needed to hear. It's a beautiful thing that could be any one of us at any time. That brings out the meaning of the word and how the Spirit would hide things. Jesus would tell them things, but they weren't ready to hear it. And it says the Spirit kept it from their understanding for that time until his time had come. So God works in and through to aid, to inform, and to protect his people. And we've got all kinds of examples worth reviewing in the Bible. The Bible reveals the law and grace. By immersing in the word through reading, study, and discussion, we understand the do's and don'ts while realizing that though we can't be perfect, we can attain to growing closer to being the person God created us to be. A more thorough understanding of this will better prepare us to be able to explain the same to others. So this brings us to the third way to prepare: time spent living the life of the righteous. Proverbs 4:18, I love to quote it. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. At some point in our lives, there's steps along the way, but if we've received Jesus, if we've accepted his offer, if we got down on our knees or just completely broke down, or if it was just a divine revelation and light, we say, Lord, I need you. I acknowledge I'm a sinner, and I need your sacrifice to be cleansed of my sin, that I might be reconciled to God. So we see that the law, as I like to also reference, Romans talks about the law revealed sin. Before the sin, I didn't know what it meant to covet, but the sin is revealed in the law. But then, as I talked about in the first segment, the promise fulfilled. When Jesus came, he brought new understanding. The new covenant, a new commandment. Love one another. By this, all people will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Isn't that kind of the fulfillment of love your neighbor as yourself? And in a way, the love of God, that you are expressing all your love by all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, that you love God by accepting that. So, the closer we grow to the person God created us to be, the more secure we become, the more time spent living a life pleasing to God, the better our understanding. Preparedness comes from maturity in the faith. Confidence and boldness will result. You know, may I be bold to proclaim the gospel? Well, if you're nervous, if you're unsure, a lot harder to be bold. When we become more confident, more mature in Christ and our knowledge of the word, when we're no longer depending on the milk, but chewing on that meat and getting the juices out of it and being permeated, being marinated, being steeped in the juices of the word, and that it becomes such a part of us that it's automatic, then we are prepared to share those reasons for the hope that we have. Colossians 3, 1 to 17. Living as those made alive in Christ. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. There is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. A long passage, but it contains within it most of the facets of what I've been talking about how we live, about how we grow. Let people know as was said today, that you might have had a past. We all have a past. You know, there's a wonderful proverb that I also love to quote, "By love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. By the fear of God, evil is avoided." And that first part talks about our former lives, as this scripture does. By love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. You know, we might have the idea we can't atone for sin, and we need Jesus. But the fact is, we can't go back and change what has happened. We can't undo things we've done before. But we can begin today to lead a new life in Him. Love and faithfulness. Love one another. Love your neighbor. Love God. Faithfulness. Always be there. Do what you say you're going to do. Don't be a hypocrite. But live the life Jesus has prepared for you to walk in, and you will love and have faithfulness. So, the closer we grow to the person God created us to be, the more secure we become, the more time spent living a life pleasing to God, the better our understanding of it. Preparedness comes from maturity in the faith, confidence, and boldness. When Christ has filled us and we have turned to Him and away from fleshly things, as in the scripture, then His presence in us will not only prepare us to give an answer, not only cause those around us to wonder about the hope that we have, this communion with Christ will enable us to be agents of His salvation by being able to have the answer for the reason for the hope that we have. I opened with Peter's apologia, and I close with Ephesians 2:1-10. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace and expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For you're God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." That's the message today. We learn to honor the presence of God. We grow and ponder more constantly the presence of Christ in us. And we are able, by growing mature in the faith and confident in the Word, and by His power, by His Spirit, bold in our actions, able to share the good news with those we come in contact with. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We don't do it on our own. When we're in the vine, when we're connected to Him, we will do great things because of His presence in our lives. Because of our knowledge of that presence, because of our observance of that presence, and because of our sharing of that presence. That is the message I have for you today. Live a life pleasing to God, and He will raise you up for that service. Lord, I ask You, do not deny me before I die, but that I might serve You in this life. Thank You, God, for all You have done for us. We can never repay, but we can only show our gratitude by the lives we now live through and in Christ Jesus. who now lives within us, the life that we have, new life, according to your mercy and grace, allow us to go forward and boldly share it with those you bring into contact with us. And therefore, I ask you, Lord, bring us into contact with those you can reach through us by whatever means, by whatever skill, by whatever traits, by whatever personality, whoever we are, Lord, guide us and direct us so we might share that wonderful good news of salvation in Christ Jesus with those you have prepared to receive your word. It is all about you, Lord. And so we stand before you, we kneel before you, we bow before you, humbled by your nature, humbled by the knowledge of your presence, and desiring of your grace. Now, Lord, send us out into the field. Let the harvest which is ready be harvested by your people. Lord, send us out to harvest in your field the souls desiring to be saved. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good job.